It's Thursday, August 23rd, 2012, and you're listening to episode 274 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 39 minutes. Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
My name is Chad.
This is Wayne.
My name is Pat.
And joining us today is a guest host, not an interview subject, just a guest host. Adam, go ahead.
Hi, it's Adam.
Hey, this is Adam from Kicked in the Dice Bag, specifically Player's Edition, right?
Yes, Player's Edition.
Okay.
Because the other edition sucks.
Yeah.
Well, like, no, they really just don't produce. Of course, we haven't really produced that much lately either.
You know what? And they still haven't caught up to us, so.
I know. Screw them.
We win.
Actually, we're going to have another Adam on here in an episode of Humorous next week or the week after. But my
Adam Carolla?
Yes.
Sweet.
This is making me very uncomfortable.
My brother-in-law, Adam Hartz, will be joining us to talk about new Game Masters.
Mm. Call me when you get Adam West.
Oh, no kidding. I'll be there. I hate that Batman. I hate the 60s camp. I'm not really big into cheese or camp. But Adam West is hilarious.
Adam West is hilarious. And he can make fun of himself now, which is really the way to go when you get to this point in your career.
Adam West playing Adam West on Family Guy is freaking brilliant.
That is great.
It is one of the most brilliant bits of comedy I have seen. All right. Speaking of brilliant things. So Fear the Boot is really not part of a network of our own. We are in the Pulp Gamer Network of shows, but there are several shows that we have kind of affiliated with. And if you're going to ask me what the difference is between an affiliate and a network, I really don't have an answer for you.
More syllables?
I need some kind of political spin doctor to explain how two things that are pretty much the same aren't the same.
And ours is better.
Yeah. But there are several shows that we affiliate with. And one of the things that we have been talking about amongst ourselves is that
just admit it. They've bent down, they've kissed the ring, and we're like, sure, you may have your forum space. It is nothing to us.
How can I say no on this, the day of my daughter's wedding? And that's how it got started.
Yes.
But they came back again on my other daughter's wedding.
Yes.
And we talked about doing some kind of a cross-show promotion. So here's what we came up with. We've not done a contest in a while, so we're doing a contest. And here's how the contest works. And there are more rules that I'm going to give here. It's not all that complicated. I just don't want to bore you guys going down a list of rules. So I will link to it in the show notes. But here's basically how it works. You have from now until October 31st to send a postcard, and this is when we must have it. We need it by October 31st, not postmarked by October 31st, to send us a postcard to an address that we will provide. And what you are going to do is you are going to write on that postcard, per the name of one of our affiliate shows, a postcard from a dungeon. Now, this can be comedic, it can be dramatic, it can be artistic, don't care. And the definition of dungeon, this can be something fantasy, you know, the castle, the wizard tower. This could be something modern day. You're in a zombie-infested high-rise. This could be something futuristic. You're in a space Hulk surrounded by gene stealers. I don't care. Some kind of environment where your player is trapped. The Zelda mailman has come running up, and you can send out a completely non-sequitur postcard via a mail service that should not be running. Write it in character.
There's a Moogle there.
And send us, yes, Mognet is up and running.
Excellent.
And send us a postcard from the dungeon. Now, here's what we're going to do. Once those are all in, the guys over at Postcards from the Dungeon are going to split them up into five relatively equal groups. They're going to keep one group, and they're going to send the other four to the other four shows, which is Fear the Boot, The Established Facts, Kicked in the Dice Bags Player Edition, and Kicked in the Dice Bags Game Master Edition. Those shows will each, by whatever standards they select, choose their favorite postcard and announce it on the show. It will not be posted anywhere. So at some point during the month of November, the winner will be announced on each show. So you're going to want to stay up with all of these shows through the month of November. At least give them all a try that way.
Hey, so, that means MasterCast has to release something in November.
So much for that contest.
And at which point, if you're the winner, you contact us, whichever show gave you as the winner. And you go onto a list of finalists. There will be five finalists. Those five finalists, we will scan their postcards. We'll blur out the address. We'll scan the postcards. We will post them online. And we will let the fans of the show vote for whatever their favorite is. Now, all five finalists will get to win a gaming product or a game title or whatever of their choice. We're describing it as reasonably priced. What I mean by that is if it's, you know,
no Tolis $300.
Yeah, don't give me some $300. You're not going to get the Dwarven Forge complete world set or whatever.
Damn.
But if you come up with some reasonably priced, average priced role-playing game, board game, whatever, I'm not putting a dollar limit on it. Just don't be a douche. If you are, I'll say no. And each of the five finalists will get one gaming product of their choice. The person that wins, so the final one, the one that wins the popular vote, will get to make an additional three choices for a total of four game picks. Now, we are accepting international entries. If you will spend the money and get it in the mail in time so that we have your postcard by October 31st, then I will take responsibility for mailing packages to Micronesia or wherever the hell it is that you're...
Micronesia.
to Austria-Hungary.
We are taking international entries, guys. I am going to point out, figure it out now and send it now. I'm not kidding you. It takes that long.
Well, it depends. Probably so. But actually, if you want to get it here quicker, don't mail it. Make the postcard, put it in a FedEx envelope, and send it via FedEx. It will get here actually a whole lot faster than Aeropostale or whatever. I will post a link in the show notes to the complete rules. So be thinking about that and get your postcards in by October 31st if you want to be involved in this contest. Alrighty, with that out of the way, let's get down to brass tacks.
Oh, you haven't used that one in a while.
Rubber's going to hit the road. There's going to be a Venn diagram with Fear the Buddha on one side and gaming topics on the other, and this is where we overlap.
I don't know why we're talking about having sex in a car, but...
I know why we're talking about having sex in a car. It's fun.
We are, however...
in an uncomfortable place.
It's where babies are made.
You know, I tried it once and it just really didn't work.
It's not really set up for it. Well, no. You know, the problem is we're too tall.
And that is part... It's the same reason I can't stand bathtubs.
Yeah.
Seats there are no bathtubs made for me.
Not far. Not my. Believe me, my seat is all the way back already. My truck is the first vehicle I have fit in to drive. Mm. I can't even imagine trying to have sex in it.
Well, that's why you have sex in the bed, dude.
Yeah, you gotta...
Well, that's different. That's different.
Get a sleeping bag.
It's not different. You just throw a mattress back there, you're fine.
Yeah, yeah. Have sex in the bed of my truck while it's going 60 down the highway.
Sure. Challenge accepted. Worst sense of
adventure. Slamming her takes a whole new meaning.
You know what? He didn't say you had to be driving, so yeah, I'm there.
She's cowgirl on top of you, and she looks down at you like, oh, yeah, honey. And then she smiles, and there's all these bugs in her teeth. You're like, ah!
So this is kicked in the dice.
Yeah,
yeah, apparently.
I think basically Adam came on and drug us down.
Yep.
You're welcome, fellas.
Up. So let's get back on topic here. The topic we're going to talk about today.
You know, Dan, if you cut that whole part out, can you save it and send it to Adam so we can cut it into kicked in the dice bags?
I won't cut it out. That didn't cross any lines yet. This is kind of funny.
Well, we know where dance thresholds are.
Yep.
Apparently 60 on the highway, just fine.
So I was actually going to respond to a blog post or somebody posted a comment on our blog, but it's not nice to do that from a bully pulpit. So.
No. So let's.
All right. So Chad, do you want to introduce today's topic?
No, not even a little bit.
Okay.
Good.
It was your idea, but I'll go ahead and introduce
it.
So Chad, what you wanted to talk about was playing dark characters.
Yes.
Now, this could be evil characters. Mm-hmm. Obviously, evil characters could be dark characters, but it could also be good guy characters. For example, if you take Batman in the Dark Knight incarnation, the Frank Miller sort of incarnation.
Punisher.
Rorschach. Yeah. You know, these are guys who are at least arguably good guys, but nonetheless have a lot of darkness to them. These are characters who are very psychologically, sociologically, maybe morally disturbed. Like I said, they could be evil characters. And where'd you want to go with that?
Well, you know, you just got me to start talking about the topic. Introducing it, you bastard. Don't look at me with those come hither eyes.
I know, it's like he's going dark or something. Yeah, it's weird.
I know, he's manipulating.
That was really kind of a
master.
Dark thing to do, Dan.
Yeah.
Puppet master.
You want to know what's actually going on here? Some guy said that he wanted to hear me podcast while robo-tripping, and that's what's going on right now. So
what's robo-tripping?
Robo-tripping is basically you get whacked up on Robitussin.
Oh.
And since I've had this...
Yeah.
For anyone who's at home and thinking we're encouraging something illegal or bad, we're not... I have a prescription for Chiritussin, which is basically, I believe, Robitussin with codeine in it, because I have a chest infection thing kicking in.
Isn't that like the 13th step? What's that Dennis Leary routine? He's like, NyQuil's the 13th step.
NY, big Q.
Yeah. Green-ass flavor. Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry. What we're thinking here, why play dark or... I want to say evil. I keep wanting to come back and say evil. And that's not necessarily right. What we're talking about, but we're not excluding it either. But, you know, why do you want to play a dark character? How do you play a dark character in a group full of good guys? How do you play a dark character in a group full of bad guys or dark guys?
Let's start with the why. Hmm? In my experience, there have generally been two reasons why at least the people I have observed play dark character. One is to vent. They want to be able to do something or express something in a game that they can't do in real life. Part of gaming is escapism. And I'm not talking that, oh, this means everyone has deep-seated psychological issues. But a lot of people, when they express themselves in any form of art, they try to express things that life does not otherwise give them an outlet for. I can't be a special ops soldier on a spaceship, so I play Mass Effect to scratch that itch. And the same way, there may be an aspect of somebody's personality they want to vent by playing a character who has disturbing traits. All right, now that's one possibility. Possibility number two, and this is the one that White Wolf gave back in their very old products, which is, and by very old, I guess I mean their original products. They're very old products, or what, 1990s, they're not all that old. But they talked about the exploration, the idea that there's a part of yourself that you kind of want to play up, to explore, to understand. There's something about you where you're trying to sort of, I don't know, figure it out. It's a catharsis, is maybe a way of putting it.
I think that there's also intellectual exploration of evil, and there's nothing wrong with that. To understand evil, yet not be evil.
I would say there's also another line on there of sometimes dark characters are just cool.
Yeah.
Look at Batman. Batman is a very cool character. He is a dark character, but Batman doesn't kill. That is a line he will not cross. He has his limits. So you're playing a dark character that isn't in any way evil whatsoever. There's a big difference for me. I have no problem doing a dark character, like, say, a Batman-style character in video games, RPG, whatever. I have a big problem trying to do an evil character or a truly morally questionable character. One's just cool. The other, I just have a hard time.
Okay, well, let's talk about that, though, for a moment. What makes Batman dark? Now, it's not the loss of his parents. It's not his origin story.
He wears a black outfit.
Because his origin story has been in place, I mean, more or less, since the character came into being.
His parents are dead. We get it.
Yeah, we get that part. But what you get in, like, the Dark Knight incarnation of him, is the fact that while he doesn't kill, he is willing to do a lot of very questionable things.
And he is driven and obsessive, and
he's driven.
He has dark personality traits.
Runs around with a small boy in a rubber suit.
We talked the Christopher Nolan version.
Oh,
he's also a man who deals in fear.
Yeah.
He deals in fear and horror. I mean, that is how he controls
people. It's his tactics
people.
That sets him apart from the other. Basically.
Exactly.
I mean, he rules by fear as opposed to by respect, which is the difference. It's been discussed in DC Comics between Superman and Batman, is that, you know, Superman leads by example and Batman...
He has no problem hanging someone over the edge of a roof to try to get answers to questions.
But then again, Spider-Man's done that, and Spider-Man's not a dark character.
Yeah, but in his history, he has been.
When Spider-Man does that, too, for some reason, it's funny. Because he's making jokes about it, and it's funny that some of the comeback's afraid.
And Spider-Man walks the line. There are times in Spider-Man's history where he has been, well,
especially the whole black suit thing. You know, once they started to develop that, once they made it a symbiote and all stuff is driving him nuts. I mean, he did do some pretty dark and vicious, bloodthirsty sorts of things, and Sam Raimi, unfortunately, really kind of screwed that up in the movie. But.
Yeah, and that's not even getting into the Clone Saga where he slaps Mary Jane at one point.
Wham!
Wow. I want to read that one.
He has at times been a dark character, but generally he is a happy-go-lucky character by nature.
You know, the other aspect of it too is evil characters, not good guys who are anti-heroes or just dark, but like evil characters. I enjoy playing an evil character. And I enjoy playing an evil character in a group of good people. And I like it because it counterpoints their goodness. When you stick my evil guy next to a white knight, the white knight looks really, really good. And everything he does looks good. And then my character will also face him with, like, moral choices that he has to face. you know, puts his goodness to the test, which is an interesting situation. My character next to the good guy looks really dark and really evil. And I think there's a little bit less so with evil of the good guy faces him with moral choice. I mean, if the characters are really well written, right, the good guy will face him with moral choices that makes the evil character question.
Yeah, it's something I find I'm not capable of doing. Except for this, the game we did this last Sunday where we were all pretty disturbed people. Mm-hmm. My nature as a person, I tend to have a bit of a white knight complex. Mm-hmm. And that comes out in every character I play, whether it be RPG or video game. That aspect somehow always comes out. Like in video games, I try to go the evil route because I want to see the other cutscenes. I'll go back and try to replay a game and I find myself not able to stick to the evil path.
I also enjoy playing an evil character because I like seeing the reactions of the other players. I like doing something that is evil that makes their good characters question what they're trying to do and why they're trying, or gets a reaction out of their characters. I mean, because when you boil it down, that's what role-playing is. It's reactions to things.
In the very first game I ever played, and our characters got into a fist fight.
Yeah.
Because your character was the darker character, and you know, mine was a... He was a veterinarian, but he had a problem with what you were doing.
Yeah.
I think you have to be careful when you do that. In your example, Chad, when you're playing like the one evil character in a party of essentially good guys, from a role-playing standpoint, because you're doing this in a group where, okay, we're all playing this game, we have decided to play these characters and we're playing this story, I think what you have to be careful with is that if you're really true to your characters and you've got an evil guy in your party, why the hell are you sticking around with him? Like, if you're three good guys, morally good, and this guy, this morally reprehensive person is there, what the hell are you traveling around with him for if you're truly good people?
I think the way...
What I mean by that is that, obviously, in terms of, well, we want to keep the group together.
Well,
we don't want to kick Chad's character out.
There's different
we want levels, him to play with us.
There's different levels of evil.
I know. And I'm just saying, I think you have to be mindful of that when you play this.
Yeah. I mean, there's different levels of evil. We're playing superheroes and the superheroes are good guys. Maybe they have a little bit of a troubled past, but they're good people and they're good guys. And then we have this guy over here, this other player, and he's playing not the bad guy, but he's playing an evil guy.
Yeah.
Is he evil in that he has questionable tactics that make the other players question their moral choices and question their friendship and their relationship to them? Or is he eating babies? Is he just killing innocent people? Yeah.
You don't have to go to the eating babies thing, but it's literally when you're encountering in a situation in a game where, you know, you come up against somebody that you just don't like and you just kill him because he annoyed me.
You know,
I'm like, oh my God, you know, that's not baby killing, but it's like the characters can react to that.
There is a difference here between contrast and conflict in the characters and breaking the group template. And I think that's the line that I would draw. Can you have people within a group that are morally different from one another? Sure, you can have a
party.
You
have that in real life.
Precisely. Yeah. But in real life, there also does sometimes come a point where you and somebody else are so morally different.
Sure.
You walk away from that person,
right. Mm-hmm.
Or worse. And I think in a game where the idea is you're trying to keep the party together because you guys in real life are friends and not looking to split your hobby or whatever, you do want to be sure that your character, in whatever way they express their darkness, is not breaking the group template. Mm-hmm. If you're playing the group of paladins, having somebody who's the questionable brigand they're bringing along because he's the only one that knows the route to the evil wizard's palace, that's one thing.
That's a dumb reason to have a character there, even if they're all good.
Oh, I'd agree with you.
But everyone also has to look at the big picture. Because I think it's fair to say that for the good players to look at the person playing the evil character, what's the end game here? Are you here to screw us over? I think that's a fair question. And the answer should be, no, he's friends with you. He's loyal to you and blah, blah, blah. He's not going to stab you in the back unless that's an aspect of the game. But it's also fair to say, like, when I play an evil character, I enjoy doing the evil to see the reactions of the other characters, to create role-playing moments, to create tense moments. Ultimately, my end game is to redeem the character.
Let's come back to redemption, but let me ask you two questions. One, you're doing this to get a reaction. What if the reaction is destructive to the game?
Well, that can be said for any
I know, but
you know, well, like to all good players and stuff. You have paladins. And the two paladins are of two diametrically opposed yet good gods, and the good gods go to war with each other. But personally, I see that still as a role-playing opportunity. Right, right,
right. But there's, I think there's a difference in intention between we're playing two different characters, and I am playing this type of character to get a reaction from you.
Yeah.
Well, when I play good characters, I play it to get reactions from the other players.
See,
as
I don't.
Well.
See, like when I'm thinking about my dark characters that I've played. Mm-hmm. I don't do that. What I do because that is what that character does. This is how he acts. I'm not acting that way to get a rise out of you.
Oh,
or
I didn't say rise.
Okay, bad word choice. To get a reaction.
Yes.
I don't do what I do to see what Dan's reaction is.
I'm not doing it to
Wayne's
piss
reaction.
People off. I'm
I
not
do
doing
it
to piss other characters off.
I do it because that's what, when in my mind, that is how that character will act.
When
and that character doesn't care what the other people think about it.
When
doesn't care what their reaction
when
is.
When I say I do things to get a reaction out of the other players, what I mean is I want to create a role-playing situation that doesn't necessarily have to do anything with the story of the game. Not to say that I want it to overshadow the game or what's going on, or I want it to happen constantly all the time, and it's all about my character.
So I think a cool thing to explore here that maybe kind of what you're getting at as well is that if you have one character in the group that is darker than the others, that perhaps is the character that does the things the others aren't willing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And each of the characters that aren't willing to do that, they then have an opportunity to role play. How are they dealing with knowing that they have a character in their group doing it? How are they dealing with the fact that they have this character there partially because they're willing to do what they won't do? That is the type of moments I think would be really cool to role play at. I don't want to be the guy doing that, but I would be happy to be the hero. Back to superhero game. I would be happy to be the hero that's struggling morally with, is it right for me to really have him on the team doing these things I'm not willing to
and
do?
And I have been in games where I have had a dark character do something and a player gets angry at me and says, why did you do that? Why did you do that horrible thing? That's going to cause my character to do X, Y, and Z because he's a good guy. Why did you do that? And I'm like, don't ask me. Ask the character. Well, role play him out. Challenge him. I agree with you. My character did something bad and something wrong, and he needs to be called on it.
My character punched your character when
Exactly. Your character beat the shit out of my character. And it was great, and our characters developed from that.
Let me give you two examples from real life, and I'm not going to use names. These people are not affiliated with the show or anything like that, but just for sake of protecting their privacy, I'm not going to use real names.
Sean, because that's a common name.
No, I'm not.
Chris.
Like I said, it's nobody on the show, so I'm not referring to any of them. But there is one person in my life where this person, I don't consider them evil. But nonetheless, this person definitely has different moral boundaries than I do. Now, I'm going to admit something, and I use that verb very intentionally. I say admit, because I'm not proud of this. I'm just being honest. There have been times where there have been situations that I don't want to get my hands dirty, but I know this person will do things that I find morally offensive, but in some way either benefit me or maybe don't even benefit me. But the fact that he's doing them, it doesn't bother me to the point that I really care enough to do anything. And so I just kind of let it be. There are other aspects of a relationship that keep us together, make us hang out together, make us, you know, great in a variety of ways. And so what I would say there is you have someone where one person is darker than another, but it doesn't violate a group template. There's another person I'm just going to call Mr. B, where this person came into my life, did a lot of terrible and evil things, not just to me, but to other people as well. And I eventually said, you know what? The answer to this is I cannot associate with this person anymore. Right. They're gone. They're out of my life. And that's kind of what I'm getting at with the characters, that if you play a character who is morally opposite of the other characters, the reaction you could get could be one of two things. Either that fits into the group template, even if it causes conflict or disagreement, it does not break down the fundamental tie that binds. Or this crosses a line, and this is why I think sometimes, particularly like that Sky's Glass game, Chad, you got you got the reaction, is because people are like, logically, my character at this point, and I'm GMing, so I'm speaking theoretically here, but logically, my character would either A, disassociate from you, or B, kill you.
Yeah.
And both of these are destructive to the hobby we want to pursue as friends. Why would you put me in that situation? Mm-hmm. we can't resolve this with talking anymore. This would be my Mr. B. You're not the Mr. A anymore. Right. You're the Mr. B.
And that was exactly what I was getting at earlier.
How would you as a player react to that? So if you were the character, you were trying this, you were going to be the dark character in a group of lighter characters.
And I did something you crossed the line and now I have to either kill you or dissociate with you.
Or say they did it in character and they actually take you to jail or kill your character.
Awesome.
Yeah, really.
That is so awesome to me. I understand why other people wouldn't want to do it. I will happily make another character because that is so cool. You know, I do something, Pat's character's like, you crossed the line. I'm pulling my gun and I'm shooting him. I'm shooting him right in the back. He can't see me. I'm shooting him because what he did is unacceptable. And I'm just like, wow. Roll for it.
Let me ask you a question.
That's awesome.
This is not rhetorical, but I want you to think about this honestly for a moment. This wouldn't be a Drive to Chicago moment for you?
Of course not.
Okay.
Because it's not ending the game.
Right.
It's not destroying the group. It's going to create a lot of great role play as the other characters have to deal with that aftermath.
Right.
It's all about the story. Chad, I see where you're going with this. You know, it's all about the story. It's all about providing entertainment and an entertaining thing. The trick is there's a social contract, the social contract involved here that has to be somewhat addressed. In my experience, I've done a lot of gaming wherein I was in a very public situation. I was playing with players from all walks of life and all different areas coming to it from all different areas of the role-playing progression. You know, you start out as a power gamer, you grow up and do, you know, more narrative stuff. You know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In a situation like that, it can get a little bit more dicey doing stuff like what you're saying, just because you might be doing something that you think is right. You might even think your character is noble for what they're having done, but if somebody else comes back and says, no, what you did was wrong, I should bitch slap you into next week, and does, and you get offended, that happens. I mean, unfortunately, there are people out there that would just get ticked off at that, so you really need to look at the group that you're with, you need to look at the people that you're playing with, you know, and if it's a bunch of people you don't know, I wouldn't take that risk.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm going to a gaming shop, and I'm sitting down and I don't really know these people, even if I've been playing with them a couple weeks, I don't really know these people. Yeah, you know, I am not going to lead with Jeffrey Dahmer. Yeah. I am going to scale it back and maybe play something that's totally in line. I mean, I even remember that when I played that D&D 4.0 demo. Not really my style of game and not really my style of characters, but you know what? I was a guest in their house. I mean, this was at a gaming shop and stuff, but they all knew each other. Right. They were kind enough to let me in. And you know what? I played to their style. I played to their group.
Was this the one with the little girl? Or?
Yes, this is the one with the little girl. Right. We were all cheering her on and stuff. And that was so cool. Not my usual sort of game. And right. I am not going to come up and say, you know what? They handed me a thief character. And this thief character says chaotic neutral on it.
I will.
And
I am stealing that guy's pants.
Yeah, you know, and I kind of interpret that as he's bad crazy. And I get triple damage on a backstab and I'm in this square. Oh, this is going to get okay. Let me start by agreeing with you. This stuff just got real. Yeah.
There is definitely a gaming etiquette thing that when you are the new person to a group or the guests in a group, definitely play to their style and their standards. One thing that I would distinguish here for me personally, and I realize in the right game, the right group, this makes sense. So I'm not downing this with a broad brush. But for me personally, one thing I do not like to play with, especially in long-term campaigns, one-shotters is different, but long-term campaigns is a traitor. For the simple reason that if there's enough going on in the plot, I'd rather focus on that. I don't want to be stressing about every time I go to bed. And man, this is why I hate Kender so much, because I was playing Dragonlance. And every time I went to bed, I tell you, half the spells I had for the day had nothing to do with getting through the day.
Yeah, because you got to defend that chalk.
It had to do with keeping them from basically robbing and screwing up my character every night. I mean, I had so many spells on my list. Well, but that's a me personally thing.
I want to hit on that too. Let's take the Pat's good guy character and Chad's bad guy character. Chad's character does something reprehensible. There's no question. Everybody agrees that was pretty bad and very in character. And Pat, you were like, I am going to kill your character. I am going to pull my gun out and kill your character. That is what I would do. And I'm like, Pat, thank you for telling me. thumbs up, roll it out, do it, kill him, blow him away. He deserves it. I agree with you. What he did was terrible. And, you know, he needs to be taken to task on it. And you roll, and your gun jams.
Yeah.
And then I turn around and I pull my gun out.
Sure.
I'm not going to kill your character. And there's in-character reasons and out-of-character reasons. Well, actually, I don't know what the in-character reasons are. I don't know what these characters are. But the out-of-character reason is you don't like your characters to die.
Right.
You don't play the I was going to say play at the same level, but that's really a condescending way to put it. I don't mean it like that. I mean, we have different tastes when it comes to that.
Yeah.
And I know that because I know you. You're my friend and I love you. And I'm not going to do that. I would pull my gun out and I would look at, and this could be done super quick, meta. And it's just like, I'd look at Pat, your gun jammed. My character has his gun out. He's got you dead bang. And I'd be like, Pat, how do you want to play this out? Do you want me to just punch you or something? Or do you want to win? Do you want to win over my character? And, you know, we would kind of talk it out. And you might not want to be at a disadvantage. And that's fine with me because, and the reason why it's fine is because I think good trumps evil. That's just the kind of guy I am.
Actually,
I think
I'm
good trumps
take it
evil,
down
so.
To a level lower than that. I think the reason it works out is because of the fact that there is something that on paper, I think every gamer would like to say they do. But if we're honest, the vast majority of gamers, myself included, either don't or can't do, which is the complete separation of self from character.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that what happens to my character is my character and not me.
Right.
What my character says and does is my character and not me. Now, I don't think you can ever fully separate that because, as I've said in past episodes, at least some portion of that character has to be you because it came from your mind and is being played by you.
Even if somebody else wrote the character, right. You're still playing
but
it and interpreting.
I think the difference, I don't want to speak for anyone here, so correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the difference would be, Chad, you would say, this character, blah-de-blah-de-blah, because I'm playing around with the concept, so he deserves to die or right. whatever. Whereas Pat's going to say, my character, my investment, it's not going to be so detached.
Right.
And so it's going to affect him as a person because he's got an investment in his character. Am I basically right?
Yeah. And I was going to say, to follow up on what you were saying, Chad, in the same situation you described, I would not kill your character
right.
for the very reason you're saying that you wouldn't kill mine.
Right.
Because I know that for myself, I don't want my character to die. I'm not going to kill your character, even if you've done something that is death worthy.
Sure.
So to say,
sure.
Because I know how I would feel if my character was killed by another character for something like that. So,
let's say
and I don't want to do that to you.
Sure.
You know, it's like, and again, it ties in what I was saying before, because God bless you for being enlightened and about, you know, this is awesome RP and yeah, go ahead and kill me. But
I'm so evil.
Like Adam said, I think most people aren't like that. I think most people in that situation, if that happens and a PC kills another PC, that PC is going to be pissed off. They're going to flip the table and they're going to go home.
And you know what?
Knowing what I know about you, it's not just kill either. Like I said, one of the options is arrest the character, take it to jail.
Well, right. Now that's different. Like, I'd run you in.
Or
I'd take you to jail
or something
like that.
I know before you've talked about things like that being basically essentially killing the character because you have to make a new character then.
The thing is, for me, it's about creating the role-playing situation that is extra to the plot, to the story that's going on here. You know, my character does something reprehensible, you got me dead to rights, and you point the gun at me. You, Pat, is not going to have your character pull the trigger for all those reasons you just stated.
Yeah.
And I want you to take my character to task.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to challenge him. I want my character to try and get talked out of it because my goal is to eventually redeem the character.
Oh, right.
And really, there are people who play evil characters who don't
and
want them
redeemed. That's the thing that we have to understand about the individual player.
Yes.
Like we have to know that about you because if you just come to the table with this in the back of your mind going, oh, this is my goal, is this self-redemption.
And the Skies of Glass character.
And no one else knows it. And we're like, what's this douchebag doing? You know, it's like we have no idea that that's your end game. No, we did. Because we talked about this, but that's what I'm saying. You have to be careful in this.
Yeah.
This has to be up front. I mean, if you're going to play this, everybody needs to know it so we can sort of, so we can play along with this and pull it into the story.
I'm envisioning a worst case scenario here.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the perfect storm.
You have a character crosses the line.
Burns the orphanage.
My character's like, okay, I'm going to shoot you.
Sure.
I roll a one. You look back at me. I'm cool with it. If I decide to attack you, my character is now at risk.
It's like an MMO where, you know, you're non-PvP until you do that, and then the flag comes up. It's just like, okay.
Because in my mind, I made that choice to attack you.
And I would still ask you, I would still be like, okay, time out. Do we want to go down this road?
Would be yes.
Okay.
I've crossed that line because I would have a problem with the character otherwise. Mm-hmm. Like if the character made this choice and then we outside of it decided, oh, you weren't going to shoot, and then I tried to shoot.
You know what, Dan? When you're a game master, nobody ever asks you that about your main character. It's like, okay, here's my Baron Von Badass. Well, he just crossed the line, and I roll my dice to kill. I roll initiative, I roll my dice to kill him, and here's my damage, now he's dead. They never asked me if it was okay to kill him. But no,
we haven't got to worst case scenario yet.
Yeah. I wouldn't have stopped him, but they could have asked.
Well, that's anathema. But all right,
so we haven't got the worst case scenario here. Mm-hmm. So I roll bad, you shoot me, my character dies.
Okay.
John then jumps up. It's like, I can't have that. John rolls to attack.
It's the Inglourious Bastards barroom scene. Everybody's dead.
John, as far as John's concerned, when the dice start rolling, your character can be killed.
I've had this happen in a game.
Oh my God, that's the best game ever.
I totally agree. It's beautiful.
The only character left because he doesn't want his character to die.
I hate TPKs. I think TPKs kill campaigns and kill games. I would totally do that.
All right.
I would totally be a part of that.
I want to change gears. We're going to keep talking about dark characters, but I want to change gears about how we're talking about dark characters. But
well, hold on.
Adam keeps trying to get a word.
Yeah,
in.
I think Adam had a point.
So Adam, I'm going to give you the last word, and then we're going to change gears.
The bottom line with dark characters, I mean, you know, I talked about the social contract. That's part of it. When you're building a darker character than what's going on, you know, what the rest of the party is going to be building, there has to be an understanding on your end that the other characters are going to be against you in a lot of things that you decide to do. You have to understand that. You can't get pissed off about, I did this, it's what my character would do, the other players are pissed, not the players, but the characters are pissed off at me, and I'm mad because they're all pissed off at me. No, you have to understand that what you're doing is going to get their goat. It's going to make them mad. And as long as that social contract is understood with the entire party, characters, players, whatever, understood that this is what's going to happen. This is going to cause some role-playing tension. That's just the way it's got to be. I think that you can totally pull off the dark character. You could even pull off a fairly dark character in that respect with the understanding that you can go into it and you can get killed for what you did. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the bottom line. I'm totally of the mindset that if my character does something that your character finds so reprehensible that they can no longer suffer my character to live, kill him.
Yeah.
Or make him an NPC bad guy.
Or make him an NPC bad guy.
I think my meta request, if I burn the orphanage and everyone wants to draw down and blow me away, yeah, I get that. I get it. And I'm fine with that. But I guess my request would be, because this is the joy I get out of the game, is the role play. Talk to him first. Yell at him. Call him names. Take him to task on it. Do all that stuff. Let him lie. Let him make excuses. Let him try and weasel out of it. Then gun him down. Because I want to role play this out a little bit.
Can I end this framework with a really quick but amusing gaming story?
Of course. It's going
to
be horrible.
Well, possibly, because actually some gaming stories is what I wanted to move into next.
There was one campaign where I had a character, he was a little bit off kilter. He wasn't quite a full-blown sociopath, but he definitely had some moral compunctions or lack of moral compunctions that the other PCs didn't have. It was a World of Darkness game, and there was an orphanage, and it was full of vampire children. The trick was, is my character was the only one that knew they were vampire children. So when he burned down the orphanage, and he did burn down the orphanage, they all came after him. Like, all the players knew that they were, you know, it was an orphanage festooned with vampires, but none of the players knew. So they wound up kicking the crap out of my character in the metagame, all the while knowing that they had absolutely no reason to do so. But yeah, it was a beautiful moment. It was awesome.
This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2012. Listeners are free to use this show in any non-commercial endeavor as long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com. Fear the Boot is also a member of the Pulp Gamer Media Network of shows. You can find other great shows in this network at pulpgamer.com.